Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. It's presented by Brakes Plus. Let's find a good one
Okay, shall we? All right.
Let's find a good one. A good, good question mark. Let's see.
Good.
Okay, here's one.
All right, this one.
All right. Mark, after yet another bad coaching performance by Michael Malone last night, are you now starting to believe he will be the Nuggets version of John Fox?
I'm going to say no. One, how much talent did John Fox have?
He had Peyton Manning.
He had Demaryius Thomas. He had Julius Thomas. He had Wes Welker. I mean, they had a load of talent. I don't look at Jamal Murray like that. I mean, I think when you're talking about Jokic, I mean, even Doris Burke was talking about how he doesn't move really well, and you know, but he just understands spacing. He's got great spatial awareness. When a guy is not a great athlete, you know what you talk about? Spatial awareness and court awareness and everything awareness and.
You know, did you hear the thing she said during the game? So Jokic makes this really nice pass to I think it was Jeremy Grant. And she said, look at how he changed his arm angle there in order to.
Yes, I did hear that.
See how he changed his release point to be able to make that? It almost looked like Mahomes.
Right.
I went, you know what I started doing?
That's what I started doing.
I didn't realize I was doing it. I just started going.
Contractual obligation.
Yeah,
in my own house, in my own head. Yeah.
Without even thinking.
I did hear that last night. Even Doris Burke loves Patrick Mahomes. That's enough to make you want to vomit.
Well,
we've
been accused of loving Patrick Mahomes. So much so that we have to now put the Manana song in.
I know. I do love Pat. Mike, the NBA, I think Michael Malone is a really good coach. I really do. And I think he pushes the right buttons. I think his players play hard for one another, play hard for the organization for the most part. I was a real skeptic about Michael Porter Jr. I still am when it comes to playoff basketball, because what we've watched is not playoff basketball. I mean, come on.
That has not been playoff basketball in the bubble yet.
It hasn't even been close. So anyhow, that's kind of where I am right now, but, it just is hard for me. I understand what they're doing. I understand liking a matchup. I understand all those things, but I'm just a bit concerned about playing it that way.
All right.
I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We know who this guy is. It's Adam Schefter, our NFL insider, ESPN, joins us courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Stink. How are we doing? And I think Michael Porter's been impressive so far. We'll see if he can dial up in the playoffs.
Yeah, he has looked good. You know what else has looked good? The numbers from all the testing in the NFL right now. So far, I mean, I know they're not traveling, and I know they're playing, Adam, but so far, you got to be pretty impressed with the lack of positive tests in the NFL as training camp opens and they start to practice.
Now, listen, we're going to see how this unfolds, and we have not seen full-on drills and hitting and games to see whether the virus is or isn't contagious like that. You would think it would be, but we'll see. But the one thing I think the NFL has done a really good job of is testing. And I know that there have been a number of players, I think it was 69 total players who opted out. And that's their right, and I understand it. I mean, people have a lot of health conditions that they're dealing with. But the fact of the matter is, these NFL environments probably in this day and age are some of the safest environments that you could be in because of the frequency with which they're cleaning their buildings, because of the way they're living their life there. I just think that to me, if you could be anywhere, how many people get to go to work and get tested every day, have all the people that they're working around tested every day, have no one else that can enter that building unless they're tested and temperatures taken and questionnaires are filled out, right? And so the NFL hasn't enacted a bubble like basketball or hockey, but it's created its own little virtual bubble, and you hear the messages from the coaches around the league who usually stress the importance of things like turnovers, now stressing the importance of things like discipline and good decisions and being responsible to your teammate and fellow coaches.
Busy with Adam Schefter. Jerry Jones yesterday talked about this possibility of pods of fans sitting together, purchasing tickets to sit together in order to be able to get fans into the stadium. What are you hearing? We get a lot of questions from Bronco season ticket holders about whether or not they're going to be able to go to the games this year. What are you hearing?
I have to check on Denver because I don't know specifically how the Broncos will handle it, but I could just tell you that I believe that many teams, if not most teams, will have no fans. That's just the expectation. And they, I think, will adjust from there. And if Jerry starts out by letting some fans into certain spots in Cowboys Stadium and it works, then I think other teams could wind up basically mimicking parts of that model. And look, there's a lot of money in those suites. There's a lot of money in the fact that there's going to be very few people, if anybody, who goes to the games. So I think you can command a premium for a suite, for a section, for a family, for a business that's been tested together. I mean, just start thinking like this. And you have to think that Jerry is thinking like that because he's always thinking of ways to make money. And so I'm personally not expecting many, if any, fans at all at games this year. But Jerry always thinks outside the box. And he's thinking, how can I make more money on this? And I'm sure there's a way. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But there'll be people that look to explore and exploit this and try to maximize whatever revenue they can generate and squeeze out of it.
Adam, your take on the DeMar Dotson signing for the Denver Broncos. Do you think eventually he becomes a starter? Do you think it's just depth? What are you hearing?
I don't know what he winds up doing. I just think that when you lose Juwan James and he opts out, you just need people, whether they are backups, whether they're starters. And we all know how hard it is just to find decent offensive linemen. They just don't really exist. They're usually not on the street in the middle of August. And so here's a guy that has experience, that's been capable in the NFL before. And so they figure, let's go give him a shot. What is there to lose? And I think that's the thinking. I don't know what it turns into, but I think they believe, and rightfully so, that it can't hurt to have somebody like that on the roster.
We're talking about a Pro Football Focus ranking of the top play callers in the NFL, and Andy Reid was listed at number one. When you think of the great play callers in the NFL, what stands out to you, especially as we get set for year one with Pat Shurmur here?
I think that they are aggressive, imaginative, unpredictable, and very difficult to stop no matter what. Like, back when Mike was coaching the Broncos, Mike Shanahan, and Stink was playing guard, no matter what the other defense did, it's usually pretty tough to stop Denver. Like, even Bill Belichick had a really hard time stopping you guys. And so I've had enough conversations with enough people here to come up with our own rankings of the top play callers in the game. And I don't know that Andy's one. He's in the top three or four. But there are a few guys that, to me, stand out. And that would be Andy Reid. That would be Kyle Shanahan. That would be Sean Payton. That would be Sean McVay. I may be forgetting somebody, but I think those are the guys in my mind off the top of my head. Daniels will be up there, too. Five guys right there that I think are they are exceptional. They are all the things I told you. They are creative, imaginative, and most important, difficult to stop.
They are, and you mentioned Kyle Shanahan. Right now, it looks like George Kittle, who I think is the best tight end in football, most complete player, one of the most complete players at any position, looks like they're going to get a deal done. And I love what John Lynch said. He said, what was it, Mike? He's got a
like a vision plate, like vision, a vision statement
for each player of what they want to be, and George Kittle fits them all. Just take me through George Kittle signing there and John Lynch's management of that football team.
Yeah, well, okay, the George Kittle thing is very interesting because they've been talking all through the offseason, and we're obviously in a pandemic where there are extenuating economic circumstances, and it's you're not seeing many players sign long-term extensions. The only players that we've seen this offseason have been players in exceptional positions. Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, Laremy Tunsil. There was one other I'm forgetting. Joey Bosa. And Myles Garrett. Right? Other than that, I don't think there have been very many, if any, players who have gotten significant long-term deals this offseason. So they've been very rare. George Kittle's in that category. But the issue is that he would like to be paid as one of the top wide receivers in the game because he is their top receiver, and he is one of the top receivers in the game. The top receivers in the game make over $20 million a year. Austin Hooper right now, I believe, is the highest paid tight end, just north of $10 million a year. So even if you're offering George Kittle, let's just say $15 million a year, is he 50% higher than the highest paid tight end in the game? Or is he 25% lower than the best wide receiver in the game? Like, his argument, George Kittle's, of being paid like a receiver is right. And the Niners' argument of him being the highest paid tight end is right. So how do you find the common ground for a guy that is one of their team leaders, a guy that's the heart and soul of that team, a guy that produces like a receiver, but plays a position where the salaries really are not very high? And that's the challenge that they've all been going through this year. So when the deal eventually gets done, I would expect it gets done. It's not a secret that they've been trying to get it done before they get on the field for pads. Again, he wants probably north of 20. They want to pay him closer to 10. So right in the middle is about 15. I don't think that makes either one real happy, but I actually think he's worth more than 15 a year. That's me. And so ultimately we'll see where it comes in. He's a great player. I think the deal will get done because teams don't let great players leave and they get them re-signed, and George Kittle fits right into that category to make Kyle Shanahan one of the best play callers in the game to tie together the last two answers.
There it is. Hey, Adam, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much for popping on.
Stink, Mike. Have a great day. Be well. Stay safe. We'll talk next Thursday at this time.
All right. There is the one and only Adam Schefter. Presented by your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. And Adam and all our guests appearing on the Fireball Hotline. Back to the RamosLaw.com text line. By the way, he said that he does not think that many NFL venues will have fans. Boy, I think there's a way to do it. Coffee slurp number two. You've been actually relatively quiet today.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's how much of, okay, here's my question to you. How much of this is not so much a concern about being able to actually get people into the stands? It's who gets first dibs? How do we decide who gets in? Is that the bigger issue? And that they'd rather have no fans than go through the headache of trying to figure out who exactly gets in. Broncos have how many season ticket holders?
Call it 75,000?
Well, no, they don't have 75,000, but let's say they have conservatively 50,000.
Well, how many people sit in the stadium?
Well, it's about 70, 75. But they're not all season ticket holders. You can buy individual games. Don't fight with me. Why do you have to do this? Why? God, you can be so maddening sometimes.
I don't know. I just thought that was all season
No, they're not all season tickets. All right, fine. 60,000 season ticket holders. How about that?
Can we? This is like a George Kittle negotiation. Can we go with 70?
Yes, 70.
All right, I got what I want. Right.
There are 70,000 season ticket holders for the Denver Broncos. So even if you come out and say
71,
you did.
All right.
I almost swore there. Now where was I? See, this is what you're doing to me.
Even if you come out, even if you come out and say,
all right. So you got 70,000 season ticket holders, or 71. Fine, yeah. You had 71,000 season ticket holders. So how do you say, okay, these will be the 25,000 that get in for this game? And, okay, all right, you 25,000 get in for this game. The next 25,000 get in for the next game. Yeah, but then the season ticket holders go, well, wait a minute, I don't want to go to that game. I want to go to the Brady game. Why can't I get into the Brady game? And I just wonder how much of it is dealing with all of the concerns about how to get people in, and maybe it's more about who do we allow in? And that's more of a nightmare. Come on, we have season tickets. How many season ticket holders out there listening right now?
71,000.
Okay.
We just talked about it.
I would be fascinated. And by the way, actually, this is a legitimate question, too. Those of you who are season ticket holders who have been are listening right now, please get back to us on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. What are you being told? Because usually season ticket holders are the first to know. What are you being told? And what kind of argument, what kind of demands would you make as a season ticket holder if it was, okay, 20,000 Bronco fans get to come to every home game? How's that going to work?
Well, I mean, I think that's a good problem to have. I mean, I don't think you go, oh, throw up my hands. I can't figure out who gets to get in and who doesn't. I'm just not letting anybody in. You say, hey, man, here's the lottery. You're picked. If you can't go, that's on you. Right?
Really? Because you lost the lottery. So anytime you lose a lottery, anytime you buy a scratch ticket, anytime you buy a lotto ticket and you don't win, it's your fault?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Gee, well, you shouldn't buy lotto tickets. I'm just saying, like, I think most, hey, if you're gonna, as a season ticket holder, you're gonna get to go to one game, and here's the game, do you take whatever you get? There's only eight of them.
You think people will be that accepting?
You got to go back to childhood psychology when you're raising your kids here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, this ought to be good. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Enlighten
everybody. I think every father, every mother has used this quote: "You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit." Didn't you say that to your kids at some point?
Sure.
You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Be thankful for what you got.
Yeah.
Hey. It could be zero fans in the game. Boom, you get to go to a game. It happens to be a game that you don't necessarily care about. Give me a game on our schedule that nobody really cares about.
A home game?
Yeah, a home game on the schedule.
Let's see. The Dolphins. Fitzmagic playing quarterback.
Well, they still have, I mean, there's still the possibility of getting a Hall of Fame 5 guy in there.
Good point. You could see Josh Rosen play. That'd make it a hot ticket.
Certainly not the Bills, because you got a Hall of Fame 5 quarterback there, right? So everybody's going to want to see that. Hard to come up with a game you would want to go see, huh?
I don't know. The Titans? You're telling me if I as a season ticket holder, I'm only going to be able to get to one game?
Monday night, though. Titans. Late game. Ugh. Who's going to be calling the late game? The Monday night late game? Because they always have the number one broadcast team.
Well, yeah, that's usually where you get the number two. Like, for years it was Greenberg and Golic.
Right.
To do a game. Lately, it's been Rex, Ryan, and
Beth Mowen.
Mowens, yeah.
Mowens.
Right. Wasn't Sergio Dipp
introduced
to us?
Yes.
In the late game?
He is having the time of his life. That one?
Yes.
Yes, it was. What is Sergio Dipp doing right now?
What do you say?
Having the time of his life.
Can you Google that real quick? Can we get some efforting music? Just to, I mean, don't you think Sergio Dipp is probably working somewhere? That he was put in.
Well, no, he was. That was totally unfair.
He was put in an untenable situation. I mean, that was.
He co-hosts a Latin American edition of SportsCenter and NFL Live.
See?
Also covers the Mexico national football team. Yeah, he's huge. I mean, those of you who have ESPN Deportes and watch that, I mean, he's
all
big.
Over.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
But he was just, he's a star there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to cross him over, and it did not go well.
No.
So, like, when you Google Sergio Dipp and the first thing that pops up is ESPN reporter Sergio Dipp bombs during his Monday night debut.
Yeah. Totally unfair.
Sergio Dipp, viral moment. You know, yeah.
Unfair. Totally unfair.
Seems like a very nice guy.
He was great, though, afterwards.
He was very gracious about it.
Yeah, he was like, hey, man.
He wore it.
Yeah, he did. He's just like, you realize I don't speak English. I mean, not well. I mean, it was a terrible situation to put a guy into.
All right, so here's what I'm hearing from some of the season ticket holders. There are roughly 33,000 or so season ticket holders.
What?
Yeah, not your 71,000. Remember, now a lot of them have more than one seat, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So one season ticket holder could have four seats, six seats, something like
that. Well, if it's 33,000 ticket holders and each of them has, let's say, average of three seats, Mike, that is 3366.
God, you've been doing a lot of math today.
It's like 90,000 seats. Well, I mean, if each has two seats, that's 66,000. Because nobody just has season tickets for one.
Right.
Right? That's like a guy that goes to a movie by himself.
All right, here's what I'm hearing. 22-year season ticket holder, I can ask for a full refund by tomorrow and not lose my priority number status, or I can roll over any money credits towards next season. Season ticket holder here, we were told tickets roll to next year. Single game tickets may become available to us.
Okay.
Let's see. Here's
how many people that are season ticket holders, if they are given the option of going because of COVID-19, might just pass on it?
Season ticket members will have first priority for single game tickets and parking passes that may become available. Yeah, so longest standing season ticket holders gets first choice of game until the game is full. Every season ticket holder that wants to go to a certain game can get into a lottery. Once you've won once, you can't win again, is one suggestion. How about this one? Maybe Paxton Lynch can get into the lottery to be able to watch his Broncos. That quality.
There it is.
Is that good?
That was it.
Is that good?
Yep.
Are we good?
We've checked with the judges, and yes, that does qualify.
Judges? Simon? Yes?
Yep.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep. All right. Paxton Lynch smear campaign extended, day number 2039.
It's like a four, that's like a four-chair turn.
A four-chair turn?
Yeah, isn't that the voice? Four-chair turn?
Oh, okay, yes. Yes,
you win, Simon Cowell. You win America's Got Talent.
Yes.
I went with the voice.
And listen, Simon will always be American Idol. I don't care how long he does America's Got Talent. He's always going to be, because he's gotten soft on America's Got Talent. Gotten really soft.
Did you see he broke his back on a bicycle accident?
I broke my back.
That's his spine.
It's spinal.
It was spinal. Oh, talk about
that. Someone's going to get bit.
It's terrible. Wish him well.
Spinal.
From the spinal.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Nothing worse than a bad back.
Ugh. I hurt mine.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Week back.
By the way, Denver has 80,000 people on their waiting list for season tickets.
Oh. So now it comes. Now it all
comes. Now the
comes
rubber meets the
circle.
Road.
80,000. It's what I started with.
No, 80,000 on the waiting list.
What I started.
No.
I said 80. You're like, no, there's only like 6,000, 7,000. 80. Boom.
Much more on the RamosLaw.com text line, including a reaction to whether or not Michael Malone is the next version of John Fox. Ouch. Why you got to put him on? Put that label on him. Really, what was wrong with Foxy? Also, to quote the late Denny Green, is the Rockies pitching starting to be what we thought it would be? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
The official theme song of the Broncos tackle situation, everybody.
Right. By the way, this is the song that starts, Lindsey Buckingham starts with a boo, a bow, a down, down, like that, something like that. That starts off that way.
Millennial Ben, can you go to work on that?
Just the very beginning of the song.
Some more reaction on our RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. To what went down yesterday, a very busy sports day, action-packed. Mm-hmm. This one comes in from Austin, who says, you know what? Nazem Kadri is a bit touched, and I think it's awesome. He is a bit touched. You always want a player that can get under the skin of the opposing team. You know, you want a guy like Claude Lemieux. You want a guy like Brad Marchand. You want a guy like Tom Wilson of the Washington hockey team. And...
No. You can call them the Capitals.
I know.
You don't have to call them the Washington Hockey.
I know. I just had a little fun there. And then you got Naz Kadri, which I think can be that guy. But he's got to make sure, you know, the best instigators are the ones that do it with a little smirk on their face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they get in there and they do their thing and they jab their stick and then, you know, the other guy gets all mad and he comes after you and inevitably, teammates get in the way. And meanwhile,
as you're backing away,
the guy just kind of smiles.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, you actually got that. You got that right.
Yeah.
You did that well.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, Mike, because I work with that guy.
And who would that be?
You.
Oh, me? Yeah,
a little
you.
Smirk on your
I
face.
I do a little smirk on my face.
Yeah, you do.
Although I generally get a little bit angry at times, though, too. It bubbles over.
Right.
As the Huff saw in Miami.
Yeah, I want to know, like, I'm thinking about the guys or the teams that I played with, who that guy was. You know, offensively, defensively. Who was the guy that was who was the guy that was a bit touched?
Romo?
Yeah, Romo was probably a bit touched. Trying to think if there's anybody else that was.
Shannon could do it. Shannon did it.
Shannon was.
The Derek Thomas night?
He was calculated though.
Right,
like,
but that's
always
the thing. Could do it with a bit of, and then, you know, just kind of back off and do it with a little smile. See what I got? See what I got you to do?
Mm-hmm. Just wondering if there's any guy that was just like genuinely a bit, like, you go just like, hey, man, that's a guy I worry about. Like, I want to make sure that him and I are tight, you know, because if he goes postal, he'll spare my life type of thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, hey, if Kadri could keep it all under control, don't get suspended like he did the last 2 years in the playoffs, then...
What did he get suspended for?
Just being...
Touched?
Touched. Yes. Like, and leveling dirty hits. Yes. He got to the edge, and then he fell over.
Okay.
The best ones are the ones that know exactly what they're doing. It's all calculated. It's all a game.
Hey, by the way, on the RamosLaw.com, we're getting conflicting reports. There are 60,000 ticket holders for the Broncos, 84,000 on the waiting list.
There can't be 64,000 different season ticket holders.
It's 60,000.
Or 60,000.
Well, I can't.
Now, there could be 60,000 season tickets out there. There cannot be, because like you just said, the average season ticket holder is going to have at least two tickets.
Yeah, that would be 120,000.
So that'd be 120,000 people. We don't have 120,000 people at the games.
That's why they're waiting. Yeah, you're right. There can't be a... Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So a person who wrote that and said, that's a fact? I don't know, that sounds...
Here's another one. I've decided that we all love Mark because we can't tell if he's an absolute genius or a dumbass. Can't wait to hear what kind of excuses you guys come up with when John Fox Malone gets bounced in the first round.
I'm not coming up with any excuses.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
What? There are no excuses. You'd be held accountable.
Well, how much held accountable? We know how it ended for John Fox. Would it end that way for Michael Malone if they don't get out of the first round?
No.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. I think you're playing with a limited roster. You're counting on young guys to step up in a playoff scenario. No, I don't think anybody's losing their job. You're in. I mean, this is.
Wait a minute. You're a team that brags, rightfully so, about both its depth and its ability to develop young talent. And then if you lose in the first round, you're going to throw up your hands and go, oh, but the injuries.
Yes. That's what of course that's what they'll do.
Well, that's hypocritical then. How can you be, look at the young talent we're developing, look at the young talent in the pipeline, look at the depth we have, shouldn't you be able to overcome and be able to replace with young talent some of the people you've lost to injury?
Yes, shouldn't you be able to get games on TV and not blame Comcast?
How nice was it last night, yesterday afternoon? I went from my couch, staring up at my big screen, to then I went upstairs, lay down on my bed, propped up a couple pillows, and just being able to watch the hockey game. Didn't have to sit hunched over a laptop. Didn't have to make sure that my VPN was...
What's a
cross-currented through Kazakhstan and bouncing off
VPN?
Multiple satellites. I don't know.
You keep saying it, but you know, say it with you're so firm.
It's what people are like. It's what people are like. Look, if you're really an Avalanche fan, a Nugget fan, you know, if you really care, it's not that hard to find them. Just got to get your VPN and router and bounce it off the 8 satellites that are hovering over Kazakhstan, and you'll be able to see the game. No, I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't have to do that.
How about new?
I should not have to jump through all those hoops just because billionaires can't figure out how to work a deal out. No.
Okay.
I don't cater to you. You cater to me. That's the way it works. One more here, real quick. Sorry, okay. Ben. Well, then we'll break.
Okay.
Guys, I love the show, but good Lord, Mark, please leave the trying to be funny and failing miserably to DMAC. Oh, that's a fireball right there.
That is a fireball.
That's a fireball.
I'm not trying to be funny. I just am. You're welcome. That's all I got to say. You're welcome. Oh, VPN is a virtual private network, Mike. Surprised you didn't know that.
Of course I knew that. But a school kid, she's called VPN.
Nerd alert.
Virtual private network.
Ha! Nerd alert.
Yeah, I'm not nerd interested alert. In... What was it? Virtual what?
Private network.
Yeah, I'm not interested in creating or finding, discovering my own virtual...
Yeah.
Private network.
That sounds like the kind of thing.
I want to sit down in front of my big screen on my comfortable couch and prop up a couple of pillows and be within easy spitting distance of my fridge and be able to watch a hockey game. How about that?
Your virtual private network sounds like the kind of thing that the FBI breaks down your door. Like they break your door down because you're on your virtual private network, right?
Right?
Excuse me, sir. Can we look at your laptop?
That's right.
Wait!
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with virtual private networks.
You've triggered a few warning bells in some sensitive places. All right, much more on the Ramoslaw.com text line. Take your best shots at Mark. He's ready for you. Next. Good stuff on the Ramoslaw.com text line. Let's get back to some more here. Especially the ones that come after Mark. From Luke here. Fellas, I heard the NBA telecast say Nuggets head coach Michael Malone, quote, isn't concerned with winning these last two games, but maintaining rhythm. Needless to say, I changed the channel.
I did
that at the start of the fourth quarter. As soon as I saw that on-court interview, he's like, yeah, we're going to sit our guys for the fourth. And I'm like, okay, thanks. If you're not interested, I'm not interested.
I love this.
Well, see you later.
On the text line, 5772. Mike, this is you talking. I'm not an instigator. Also, Mike, coming up next, take your best shots at Mark on the RamosLoud.com text line. He can take it.
Touche. Touche.
You got him nailed. Nailed him.
Well played, yeah. Dexter. That's whole milk right there. That's heavy whipping cream right there.
This one from Jesse. Tlaib was touched.
Tlaib was touched.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Tlaib's touched.
Yep. TJ Ward was a bit touched.
Yeah.
You got to have touch guys. Derek Wolfe touched.
Yes.
You need guys who are touched.
You need a few crazies.
Need some dogs.
Yeah.
Here's one from Charlie. Which NFL team do the Avalanche compare to? The Avs are the fill-in-the-blank of the NFL.
Ooh.
Good question.
Well, who's their quarterback? I mean, you would have to say...
Jokic.
What's that?
Jokic.
The Avs or the Nuggets?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. McKinnon. Yeah.
McKinnon would have to be, right?
Yes.
You mixed your metaphors.
I did.
McKinnon would have... I mean...
A guy who clearly looks like a surefire Super Bowl winner at some point, but isn't there yet.
Then they're the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm.
No. Mm. They come at
you. We got 6-5.
They beat you with athleticism, but there is that point where if you're ahead, they're going to have a tough time. Like if you're throwing shots on goal, that could be their Achilles heel. The Baltimore Ravens, if they get down by 7 or 8, 12, 14, whatever it is, they're going to have a tough time coming back. Playing outside of their style.
Okay, so a team that we all agree looks like an elite team, but still has to prove it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, the Ravens. So the Avalanche are the Ravens of the NHL. Hmm. Not bad. That's good. I'm just trying to think if there's anybody else out there.
Well, you're going
to can't say the Rams or the 49ers because those teams have been to the Super Bowl. The Avalanche haven't been to the Stanley Cup Finals. So.
See, I'm thinking of it from a personnel standpoint. Like, I could see people going, oh, they're the Chiefs because they're so fast.
No. Bills? Maybe the Bills?
The Bills?
Just, you know, a team that.
But the Bills are based on their defense. I mean, come on, they're starting quarterback. You can't compare McKinnon. Come on, McKinnon's elite.
You're right.
Josh Allen's a Hall of Fame fiver.
Josh Allen was the quarterback of an offense that was ranked 23rd in the NFL in scoring.
Right, so that's
carried along by its defense.
Right.
Sorry, I had to get my own personal jab in there.
Yeah.
To you know who. Another fireball.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go with the Ravens. All right, that's
fine.
The
Ravens make the. I think that makes the most sense to me.
Clearly talented. Clearly have what we would all agree would be looking like a future superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, can he lead and can that team that's uber talented climb to the top of the mountain? Avalanche, Ravens. Okay. I'll go with that.
And they both have, I mean, different shades of purple, but don't they kind of both have purple in their color?
Yes, they do.
Color schemes.
Guys, you got it all wrong. Coach Malone, don't you love it when a fan calls him Coach Malone?
Coach Malone.
He's my coach. Coach
like
Malone.
Post Malone.
Coach Malone does not give a rip about who we face in the playoffs. He just wants to give his bench meaningful minutes. Winning championships needs the bench's help. Don't sell me that narrative. You're not going to out-depth your way to the NBA right. Finals.
The Nuggets have won so many championships.
Depth matters and is a wonderful asset to have during the long 82-game season. You're going to pick up a lot of wins because of your depth. But when it comes to not only winning in the NBA playoffs, but each level you go up in the NBA playoffs, man, your stars, they got to play like stars. They got to be great.
Come playoff time, everybody shortens their benches. There's just not the depth factor is not, because not only are you playing, you know, best of seven, but you got time off between the games to recoup. You're not playing. You're not paying. Do you ever play in the playoffs back to back nights?
The Avalanche will actually.
Well, yeah,
but
I don't
suspect the NBA will.
No, you just have time. Then, well, now you don't have the travel time and stuff, right? Because you're in the bubble. But you're going to get it. That's the way they work it.
Tom writes in, Mark, I know you think Bol Bol reminds you of a lock pick set, but does he not remind you of Jack Skellington from the Nightmare Before Christmas?
Is that the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real tall, thin.
Lanky. Ichabod Crane-ish.
Spindly looking fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lock pick because he had them. Like he looks like when he's standing on the court, he looks like a capital L.
But that move he made where he
got big feet,
picked off the ball and went the other way and then dunked it.
Yeah.
There's no, his
that,
skill.
That was it. His, that was actually, I was his, like, ooh.
His skill set is pretty unique. It, man, he's got to put some weight on.
I could help him with that.
He wants
to get together. I can help him put on weight.
Look at Chief Fan here. Look at Chief Fan. This is from Small Baller.
He's fat.
Small Baller says, Mahomes is much more likable than Elway and better. I know, tough pill, but swallow it, Bronco fans. Look, Small Baller, you know you have here two guys who have a lot of respect and admiration for Patrick Mahomes. He's the boogeyman, okay? But how dare you put him right now in the same class as John Elway. Okay? Mahomes is off to a tremendous start, and he looks like he's here to stay. But let him go out and do it for a decade before we start talking like that. I had to stand up for my guy Elway.
Mike, we know.
I hate Elway.
My heart.
Now who's the wedge driver?
Now
who are the wedge drivers?
Well,
you know what? Now maybe I deserve that. Now I need to know what it's like to be on the other side.
That is you trying to make up for what you said earlier in the week. That's all. I appreciate that. It's kind of like your own little apology.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll see about that. Avs are the Saints of the NFL. That's
Like that too. Right. I like
maybe
that
we'll
too.
Talk more about this one tomorrow.
Okay,
we'll get into this topic again tomorrow.
I like it.
And is it just me Friday tomorrow?
Yes, yeah, you and I will just ramp right into this.
Let's rip it up tomorrow. What do you say?
Jump right in. And
just a great Friday show. What do you say?
I think it's a great idea.
All right, sounds good.
You and me.
All right.
All the way.
Millennial Bensley.
Hey, this is you over here.
That's right, man.
You and me. This is you right over here.
And this is me.
Yeah.
All right, Sandy and the Big O coming up next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now. Next, it's Sandy and the Big O. Ladies on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.